Let us pray. Almighty God, as you speak to us through the word, as we now think upon that word, we ask that your spirit will move in each of us now and help us to find that which we need most to hear for our lives today. May your spirit use me as I share the message that you've laid on my heart. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, there was this elephant. He was thoroughly enjoying himself as he splashed about in the river. A mouse was perched on the sandy shore. It was obvious that he was disturbed about something. The mouse yelled at the elephant, "Come out of the water at once!" The elephant laughed and said, "Why should I come out?" The mouse was not about to be humiliated by this mountain of flesh, and so he kept yelling and yelling, "Come out!" The elephant realized that if he wanted any peace and quiet, he had better come out of the water. Slowly, the elephant lumbered out of the water and stood towering over the mouse. "Now, why did you want me to come out of the water?" The mouse looked up at him and said, "I wanted to see if you were wearing my bathing suit." Now, it's easier for us to understand how an elephant could wear a mouse's bathing suit than it is for us to understand the awesome mystery of the incarnation. God's word became flesh. Just think about that. For many, this is true. Tomorrow is Epiphany. Epiphany is an ancient church festival celebrating the Magi's visit to the Christ child, as we read about it in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. It is kept on January 6th. Epiphany is also called Three Kings Day, the 12th day, the latter name because it is January 6th, is 12 days after Christmas. It's celebrated mainly by Orthodox, Catholic, and Anglican, and other liturgical churches. Other liturgical churches, not so much in the Church of the Brethren. The word epiphany means manifestation or revelation, a time when something is shown, displayed, or materialized to an audience. Thus, the Olivet Day celebrates the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, represented by the Magi. For some, Epiphany also commemorates the baptism of Jesus and his turning water into wine, both displays of Christ's divinity to the world. Instead of revisiting the Matthew story of the visit to the Magi, of the Magi to the Christ child for this season of Epiphany, we're turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, for it too discusses the epiphany of God through his Son, Jesus. Now, the Gospel of John is not like the other three Gospels, a chronological story of the life of Jesus and the lessons Jesus taught through preaching and parables. John, who was an apostle, writing to new Christians and searching non-Christians, wrote his book to prove conclusively that Jesus is the Son of God, meaning he was both divine and human, and that all who believed in him will have eternal life. It's in this gospel that we find the recording of 8 miracles, 6 of which are unique to the Gospel of John. In fact, over 90% of what is written in John is unique to his gospel, again, because his purpose for writing was different from the other gospel writers. So here in chapter 1 of John's Gospel is the prologue for his argument of Christ's humanity and divinity, beginning with verse 1, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What does John mean by the Word? In the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, the Word describes how God created the world. He spoke it into existence. The Word was the message spoken by the prophets. The Word was God's law, which was holy. The Word was another expression for God. However, in Greek philosophy, the Word was the principle of reason that governed the world, or the thought still in the mind, not a living being. John's description of the Word shows clearly that he is speaking of Jesus, a human being who he personally knew and loved, yet at the same time was the creator of all the universe, the ultimate revelation of God, the living picture of God's holiness, the one in whom, as it says in the Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, all things are held together. To the Jews who read this saying, the Word was God, it was offensive and ungodly, blasphemy. To the Greek readers, John saying later in verse 14 that the Word became flesh was totally absurd. Kind of like an elephant wearing a bathing suit, mouse's bathing suit. But herein lies the good news John shares with us, the epiphany, the revelation of God through his only Son, Jesus the Christ. While there never was a time when God did not exist, and while there never was a moment when God was not actively involved with all of creation, including humanity, there was a disconnect between God and the people. His creation he so dearly loved, they were disconnected. So God found it necessary to come to our world in human form, becoming very personal and real to make himself known. John tells us that there never was any darkness, or rather any evil, that has ever overcome God's light, nor will it ever be overcome or extinguished, because Jesus brought that light to humankind, making it so that we see ourselves for who we really are. Ouch. Sinners in need of a Savior. A Savior delivering God's unconditional love to us, showing us how God wants us to live, and ultimately saving us from our own sinful nature. Leith Anderson wrote this story to shed some light on who this man Jesus was. He wrote, "Several years ago, I was visiting Manila and was taken, of all places, to the Manila garbage dump. Tens of thousands of people make their homes on that dump site. They have constructed shacks out of the things other people have thrown away, and they send their children out early every morning looking through people's thrown out garbage to find food so their family could have meals together. People have been born and raised on that garbage dump. They've had their families and died there without ever going anywhere else, not even into the city of Manila. It's really an astonishing thing. But Americans also live on that garbage dump. They are missionaries who have chosen to leave their own country to communicate the love of Jesus Christ to the people who otherwise would never hear it. That's amazing. But not as amazing as the journey our Savior made from heaven, to earth. The Son of God knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going. He knew what the sacrifice would be. He journeyed from heaven to earth on a mission to save the human race. Jesus, the Word became flesh, meaning he became human to be our perfect teacher. It's in his life that we see how God thinks and therefore how we should think. He became our perfect example, a model of what we are to become, showing us how to live and giving us the power to live that way. He came as the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins, satisfying God's requirements for the removal of sin. He came as the perfect conqueror, conquering death, hallelujah. His resurrection opening the doors to God and eternity with God. Jesus came to save us all. John writes about the world not recognizing the Word made flesh. Today, as we ask ourselves, who is this man, Jesus? We should be asking ourselves, do we recognize Jesus in our lives today? One of the youth programs I did with my youth groups over the years, I called Coffee Shop Night. And at these Sunday evening events, we would discuss the challenges of life, current events, and our Christian responses to these things. Because there was no prepared lesson for this activity, I never knew what topic was going to come up. It was usually our best attended activity, and it offered the best setting for teaching moments and spiritual nurturing. On one particular night, I don't remember what we were discussing that led me to ask this question, but I asked the youth, would you recognize Jesus if he walked into our youth room right now? Many of them believed they would. I pushed them a bit further as to why they thought they would recognize him. Now, that wasn't as easy for them to answer, and I don't remember all of their responses, but the ones I do remember are that they felt that the things they learned from the Bible and in church would help them recognize Jesus. They also said he would probably be someone different, meaning not someone they would expect to be Jesus, so he had to be Jesus. I thought that was an interesting idea. So now here we are pondering this text from John. And I'm wondering if Jesus walked in here right now, would we recognize him? Would we welcome Jesus if he walked in here right now? Or would we walk right past him, ignore him, write him off as a loser because he doesn't fit our mold? It's an interesting thing to think about, especially when you consider that he is here right now. Maybe then the more important question to consider is, do you personally recognize Jesus in your life now? If so, how do you know it is him? And if you do recognize him in your life, you know it's because you invited him into your heart and he changed you. You had an epiphany, if you will. And you openly and hungrily welcomed his manifestation, his revelation in your life, and it changed you. And the change runs so deep in you that day in and day out, not just on Sundays, it shapes all that you say and you do. This, my friends, is the key component of being missional. And you're going to hear more about that someday. Of revealing Jesus to others. If you don't recognize Jesus in your life, maybe you haven't invited him to be in your heart. Or if you have, maybe something's gotten in the way. Something that you are allowing to manipulate your openness to letting him change you. Whatever the reason, this man named Jesus, the Word, meaning God made flesh, is asking to be in your life. Ted was 5 years older than Janet. He finished college before her and was working in a city hundreds of miles from her. They always seemed to be in a different place in their lives. But they had been dating for 7 years. Every Valentine's Day, Ted would propose marriage, and Janet would say, "Oh, not yet." Finally, when they were both living in Dallas, Ted reached the end of his patience. He bought a ring. He took Janet to a romantic restaurant and prepared to give her this lovely diamond. Another no would mean this time that he would get on with his life without her. After salad, the entree, and the dessert, Ted was ready. But realizing that Janet had a gift for him, he asked, "What did you bring me?" She handed him a box the size of a book. And he opened the package and slowly peeled away all that tissue paper. It was a cross stitch Janet had made that simply said, "Yes." It was the word Ted had longed to hear. It's also the word that God, in his tireless pursuit of the sinner, longs to hear. God became flesh and dwelt among us through Jesus. He still dwells among us today. Do you know him? Amen.